In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel reading, the visit of that Canaanite woman who fell before Jesus crying out in her need. 2020. What a year this has been so far. Now, actually, this year started out okay, if you remember. The winter was quite mild. I, for one, did not miss shoveling snow. Haven't had to do it once yet this year. I was quite fine with that. I was out on the golf course, even in January. It was wonderful. And then the pandemic hit. Schools closed, businesses shut down, churches shuttered their doors, no worship, no eating out. Vacations were canceled. And then, when finally in the spring things started changing for the better, churches resuming worship like ours the end of May, restaurants opening up, somewhat limited seating, mostly outdoors, somewhat indoors now, but at least opening up. Then it got miserably hot. Good part of the summer. The pandemic seems to be resuming in various areas of our country. And then, just a little less than 2 weeks ago, a storm hits, and we're without power. Some of us for an extended period. Jean just told me this morning a tree went, punched a hole in her roof. Can't we catch a break? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You sang that one a bit better than the opening hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. A nice sentiment. But what do you do when God doesn't listen to your prayer? When he's not responding? When your prayers don't seem to make any difference? Like now. Haven't you been praying for an end to this pandemic? I have. Included it often in our prayers here at church on Sunday. And yet, things haven't changed. We're still in the midst of it. Isn't Jesus our friend? Our hymn says that he is. But Jesus didn't seem to know this hymn or be singing it in his own head when this poor Canaanite woman came to him and pleaded, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." He did not answer her. Didn't say a word. Just ignored her. Gee, what kind of a friend ignores you? And then, when his own disciples start pleading on her behalf with him, he in essence says, "I didn't come for her kind." What kind of a friend says that? What kind of a friend calls you a dog? This Jesus of Matthew 15 not so easy to follow, is he? Did you know that there are 366 books in the Four Dummies series? You know, guitar playing for dummies, PCs for dummies, 366 dummies books. They were all written to give readers a non-intimidating guide to various topics, and included among them, the Bible for dummies. There's a Christianity for dummies. There is even the historical Jesus for dummies. It doesn't seem that Jesus or the Canaanite woman read that one. Christianity is not for dummies. Being a follower of Jesus, and so calling upon him for his help, it can't be made easy, non-intimidating. Face it, Jesus is intimidating, at least the Jesus who has presented us today in the Gospel of Matthew 15. Now, if you want, it's easy to create a Jesus of your own, one who isn't intimidating. Well, you could start with a couple of stories from the Bible. Take, for instance, the one where a woman caught in the act of adultery is brought before Jesus, and they seek to get him to agree to stone her, but he turns the tables on her accusers, telling them, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And they drop their stones and walk away. Or take Jesus as he is being crucified, his first words, "Father, forgive them." From stories like those, you can create a Jesus who would never accuse anyone, who would never reject anyone, who would never demand that you turn away from your behavior and change what you've been doing. That's the Jesus who is popular. The Jesus that people like, the loving Jesus, who accepts everyone and everything. Jesus for dummies. But that is not the real Jesus. The real Jesus is intimidating. As we see with this interaction with this Canaanite woman, he can ignore you. He can seem to not care about your troubles and want nothing to do with you. Of course, I know we would say, "But he did help the woman. He did care." Yeah, that's the end of the story. But why did he do so? What prompted him to listen to her and to respond and give her the help that she was crying out for? See this, and you will not be a dummy. Your faith will not be in a contrived Savior, a fake one, and so your faith will not be weak and fail. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. It's faith that gets our Lord's ear. Faith that receives his help. But what is faith? The faith that saves, the faith to which Jesus responds. Such faith is not simply belief in a higher power of your own contriving. That kind of faith does not get you to cry out to God's ear and get his ear any more than just taking your phone and dialing any numbers on it gets you an ambulance when you're in need. The woman cries to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She names him, the God who's true, the God who can overcome everything, but especially overcome for you the demonic. All the powers of hell as they threaten you with sickness, with death, and especially with your own unworthiness because of your sins. This God who can overcome the demonic is the God who became man. Living in this fallen world, Jesus experienced the sorrows and the pains that life brings, and so he is not far from you when you are in them. Jesus knows our every weakness, we sang in the hymn, and he indeed does, because he experienced them himself. The Canaanite woman, she went to Jesus, a man who had come to her, to where she lived, outside of Israel, to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He, the Lord, came to her. And so she believed she could go to him then with her need. And when he's not listening, when he doesn't answer, when even those who are close to him are crying out for you for his help and there's no response, don't give up. That's what we learned from this woman. Continue crying out for help. Hold on to the promises of your Lord. Promises such as our intro this morning, Psalm 28, verse 8. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. God anointed you, united you to Jesus, poured out his Holy Spirit upon you in the anointing of your baptism. And so he is bound to you. He's your faithful Father who is not going to go back on his promises. Hold him to them. Great faith is persistent faith. That's what we see with this woman. But ultimately, the faith that Jesus praises as great is the faith that accepts his judgment of you, accepts what he says about you, and yet still believes that he will help you. The woman addressed Jesus with a Jewish title, Son of David, the Messiah promised to the Jews, and she's not one. And so when Jesus did respond, he took her at her words. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Dogs. That is what Jews derisively call Gentiles in Christ's day. And yet, there he was, the Jewish Messiah, outside of Israel's borders, there in Tyre and Sidon, Gentile territory, that woman's territory. He had come to her. And so, she accepted what he said. Yes, she was a Gentile dog, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. The master of all had come there. And so, he was also her master, and she had a right to his help, even if it's a crumb. And Jesus agreed and gave her his help. What does your Lord say about you He knows your sins. He knows the ones you don't know. God has consigned all to disobedience, our reading from Romans 11 says this morning. And that means you have no more right to his help than anyone else, even the worst of unbelievers. But out of love, in mercy, God sent his Son to sinners. To sinners. The Son of God became flesh. He took your sins on himself and gave his life for you, for sinners. In Jesus, we see God's attitude towards sinners. He will receive them and forgive them. He has had mercy on us all. On you. So your Jesus will respond to you when you cry out to him in faith. So do so. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever you need, whatever your sorrow, he knows your every weakness. And you will find that he is your faithful friend. Blessed be the Lord. In Jesus, he hears the voice of our pleas for mercy. Blessed be his holy name forever. Amen. And God's peace, it passes all understanding. Keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our prayers.